at pineusa.org or look for them on Facebook.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
In strength. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popchick and his wife and co-author Lisa Popchick. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength.
Love you, love is our heart, mind, and strength.
Everybody, you are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I am your host, Catholic psychotherapist, author, Dr. Greg Popchick.
And I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic Family Life Coach, Lisa Popchick.
And I hope that you're having a very happy and blessed Thursday wherever you are and that your day is going swimmingly. However, if your day is going drowningly and you need somebody to throw you a lifeline, we're here on Heart, Mind, and Strength to do just that. Pick up the phone and dial 877-573-7825.
I've never heard it put quite that
way.
Well,
I just made that up on the spot, huh?
It makes sense.
That's pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Where we do feel like we're drowning under the craziness of life, and really we are. That's exactly what we're praying for, a little bit of a lifeline to tell us how to discipline those kids better and get them under control, or how to love our spouses better or make them love us when we're not feeling particularly loved, or deal with all those relatives and all those coworkers and all those people at church. And this is really a time of year where we're moving into that. A lot of things are shifting. A lot of people see that as things shift with the seasons, with the liturgical calendar, with the time in their lives, if your kids are moving from, you know, being in school every day to going to camp or to being home with you or to going off to college or whatever it is, maybe getting ready for kindergarten for the first time. There are a lot of moms kind of tearing up about that, knowing that's around the corner. And you're thinking, how am I going to handle all of this? There's also the fact that it's definitely, definitely wedding season. And there are a whole lot of people getting new sons-in-laws and new daughters-in-law, and how you're working that out, and how you're dealing with their families, and how you're dealing with the in-laws if you're the one getting married. The stress can be overwhelming. And
well, there's a unique conflict of love and conflict in the air. Really, when it comes right down to it, this is a season where, you know, there's a lot of love with weddings and engagements and even prom season and all those other things. I mean, dating questions and all that. And there's a lot of conflict, too. You know, wherever there are relationships, there is conflict. And so if your relationships are not working out so well these days and you need to check in with some faithful, effective support, we are here for you. You're coming up, of course, this three-day weekend with Memorial Day. You're going to be touching base with your extended family, probably. Most people will be having some contact with family. And whether that goes well or not kind of depends on whether you go in prepared or not. And if you are feeling a little unprepared for those encounters with Uncle Harold or Aunt whoever, or the mother who's going to be asking you, so when are you going to give me grandkids? Or
complaining about the grandkids as she
asked. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you sure you're raising them right, honey? Yeah, I have a friend, actually, I was talking to the other day, and she's very concerned about Memorial Day weekend. Her mother's begging her yet again to come to the big Memorial Day celebration that the whole family gets together at, and she has an uncle who never, ever stops making slurs against her two daughters who happen to be internationally adopted. And not just racial slurs, but just slurs about their place in the family and saying in front of these little girls that they are not part of the family because they're not biologically connected. And then her mom goes and kind of backs this guy up, trying to keep peace rather than standing up for her daughters and her daughter and her granddaughters. And it's caused a huge rift in the family, and she doesn't want to lose her family. She doesn't certainly want to put a rift between her and her mom. The kids love the grandma very much when she's not around this brother of hers that brings out the worst in her and makes her defend his heinous statements. And we were chatting about how to handle that over the course of the next few days. It can be difficult when family, especially family that you're not deeply involved with comes back into your life. There's a lot to handle. How do you handle it? How far do you go?
What we're trying to say here is people's is complicated. And if you need some help sorting all of these relationships out so that you can start connecting more effectively with God's grace and loving the Lord and serving the people in your life with your whole heart, mind, and strength, that's what we're here to do. 877-573-7825. Let's get started with our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence today. We thank you for the opportunity to spend this time with you and all the good people who are tuning in right now. We ask your blessing on this hour, that it would be a time of blessing for all of those who are struggling in their life or relationships. We ask you, Lord, to give peace to our hearts, to quiet our minds, to strengthen us with your grace, so that as we face the challenges of our everyday life, as we strive to bear witness to your love to all the people in our life, that we would be able to do all of that and more with your help. Remind us, Lord, that there is nothing that we cannot accomplish when we turn our face to you. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom, pray for us. We're going to be taking your calls in just a few at 877-573-7825. If you're on the line, hang on. If you haven't called in yet, what are you waiting for? If you've got some tough questions about marriage, parenting, your personal life, spirituality, or other issues that are stopping you from living life to the full, we're here to help you out on Heart, Mind, and Strength. Pick up the phone and dial 877-573-7825. Our email address is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. But first, it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from John, chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Remain in me, as I remain in you, says the Lord. For whoever remains in me will bear much fruit. I love this verse because it reminds me of two things. First of all, that God is always with me. You know, because he says, remain in me as I remain in you. He's leading by example here. He is staying with me. And he's reminding me, and all of you as well, that when we choose to acknowledge his presence in our life, when we take advantage of the fact that he wants to be present in our life and be part of everything that we do and every thought we think and every choice we make, that when we invite him into those choices and into those thoughts and into those actions, he will help us bear real fruit in our lives. And he will help us live those abundant lives that he created us to live. God is here, and he is present, and he loves you. And he wants you to turn to him so that your life might be lived to the full. Commit this verse to memory so that his word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Again, it's John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Remain in me, as I remain in you, says the Lord. For whoever remains in me will bear much fruit. Amen. 877-573-7825. Again, the toll-free number, 877-573-7825. If you are a little tired of living life and looking at that fruit tree of your life and seeing that it's kind of barren, not a whole lot being produced these days, and you're not quite sure how to live a little bit more abundant life, well, we can get you started with the faithful, practical advice you need to tend that tree and have that life start producing some real fruit. 877-573-7825. Let's go to Rhonda in Michigan. Hey there, Rhonda. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you out today?
Hi, how are you today?
Doing great, thanks. What's your question?
Good. My question is, some of the stuff that you're talking about as far as the family issue, and my family just seem like they're very divided. It's a lot of backbiting. And when you come around, you get a sense of that. And it's just been a very, it's been a struggle trying to balance that all out and get some type of understanding. But when you want to talk about it, no one wants to talk about it and that sort of thing. How do you kind of bridge the gap in a way that you just don't feel like you're doing this alone kind of thing? Because there's issues come up when it's time to go to family gatherings and that kind of thing. And sometimes I just don't want to go. because of all of it.
It's understandable.
You know?
I mean, I guess what you really, I mean, based on what you're saying to me, if I understand this correctly, what you're saying is there are sort of long-standing family issues here with some sniping and, as you say, backbiting, you know, maybe some nasty comments or things in the relationship that really ought to be worked out or need to be worked out in order for you all to get along better, but nobody wants to do that work except you. Am I right about all that?
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not like you don't have anything to do with your family, but you've curtailed those relationships, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, maybe you don't see them as often as you might like, or maybe you're seeing them more often than you would like at this point.
Yeah, but I don't see them that often. They're very distant, and they stay to themselves. And I used to embrace them and, you know, try to just put myself on them, and just regardless, I would go and see them and whatnot. I just stopped because I felt like it was just...
Okay. Well, because you're trying to make the relationship happen by sheer force of your will. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. that can't happen, you know. Unless, mm-hmm. And sometimes that extra effort is enough to prime the pump and get people, you know, on board and saying, okay, well, let's do some work, too. And I think that was a good you know, noble intention that often does work, but it didn't work in your case. And so when it doesn't work, what do you do? What you need to do at that point is kind of realize... deal with not so much what you'd like it to be, but rather what is, you know.
Okay.
And you ask yourself, what kind of relationship do they want or are they willing to have with me?
Mm-hmm.
And you start there. You know, if that means that it's just a superficial relationship where we get together twice a year and we talk about the weather and what movies we've seen, then that's where we start. And that's where, we see if it can move from there. But we deal with the relationship for what they're willing to extend to us instead of what we're trying to get into.
Yeah. Can I ask you this one thing? Like, we do have family gatherings. And aside from the gatherings, you've heard things that has gone on in between that. And you have a sense that you really don't feel like you really want to be involved in that aspect of it. Do you go anyway? You know what I mean? Or do you stay home?
Here's what I would say. You know, I wouldn't necessarily bring up those things I've heard about between those family gatherings if I don't have any way to affect anything for the good there. But I would evaluate whether to go to the specific gathering or not based on whether I felt that gathering was safe for me. When I say safe, I don't mean like somebody's going to, you know, abuse me or something physically or whatever. But I just mean, you know, is going to this thing a way of maintaining some basic connection with my family, or is going to this thing going to suck me into the drama and I'm not going to be able to escape the big black hole that is my, you know, that is my family of origin? Because if it's that, then it's better to stay home. But if it's just, you know, I can go, we can be polite, I can do my two or three hours, you know, and eat my potato salad and go home and remain unscathed, well, then fine. I mean, charity, I think, would require you to at least do that. But if there's a whole lot of drama that it's going to take, you know, 6 weeks for you to recover or something, there's no obligation to continue that kind of craziness.
Okay, thank you. That's been very helpful.
Good. Well, and, you know, we have more suggestions like this in our book, God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Crossroads just released the brand new edition. I don't even have my author's copies yet, but you can get it online at any bookstore online. Again, it's called God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. God bless you, Rhonda, and thanks for the call.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about all of those situations that weigh so heavily on your heart, cause your mind to just spin and make you feel like every last drop of strength has been drained from your body. If you're looking for some faithful, effective answers, ways to recharge those batteries, insights that enable you to see opportunities that were not available before, and techniques that can help you move forward and take advantage of those opportunities to enact God's grace in your life, we are here for you. 877-573-7825.
We're going now to Mike in Ypsilanti.
Hey there, Mike. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you out today?
Taking my call.
Sure thing. What's up?
I'll start with the question first, and then any detail you want, you can ask me. Basically, what's the best way of coping with anxiety?
Can you tell me a little bit more about how anxiety is affecting you?
Yes. It seems like for me, the things that impact me with anxiety is mostly health-related. I really have nothing seriously wrong with me. I was diagnosed as a diabetic not too long ago, but everything's under control. But I have this, I feel like I've become a hypochondriac about it. You know, it's like I worry about everything related to my health now.
Okay.
Since I've had that diagnosis.
And were you anxious before? I mean, is this something that's plagued you in simpler ways before and now has come to a head with this diagnosis, or is this a brand new thing?
You know what? I think it's probably been there before, but never to this, you know, never to this extreme. You know, so for example, if I can give you one more quick example.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'll see something, you know, you see something on the internet, and it may be, you know, saying something like, you know, I don't even want to give examples, but, you know, it may imply that if you have this symptom, you probably have this condition.
Yeah, I get you. Okay.
And so then, you know, I go off on this, and, you know, I call my doctor, and, you know, everything's fine. But, you know, sometimes it's just, it consumes me, and I wish it didn't. And the main reason I'm calling you is I don't want to take my family down with this.
I understand. Are you getting any kind of help at all for this, for the anxiety, Mike? Are you getting any kind of counseling? Have you tried any kind of medications at this point? Or are you just sort of starting out in the
I'm kind of starting out. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Go
I'm kind of starting out. What I want to do is, you know, I was thinking about this too, but I wanted to call you also because I think you give very great advice. I thought about getting in contact with my priest and sitting down with him, and I pray every day about this, every day.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you. You're obviously a very discerning and intelligent man. But I will say this, a couple of things about where to start with this anxiety. You know, I really recommend getting some counseling for this, and particularly the kind of counseling that has been shown as kind of the gold standard for treating anxiety is called cognitive behavioral therapy. And what it does is it looks at the 10 different categories, if you will, of lies that we tell ourselves that tend to make bad situations infinitely worse or create bad situations, you know, out of whole cloth when they don't really exist. You know, there's actually a really neat dovetail between the research that's being done in cognitive therapy and some of St. Ignatius of Loyola's principles of spiritual discernment, where he talked about consolations and desolations. Consolations are those thoughts that the Holy Spirit whispers into our spiritual ear that enable us to look at our problems or our life in general and acknowledge that, you know, there are sometimes serious things that go wrong, but still approach those things, even though we're approaching them soberly, we approach them with a sense of hope or competence or confidence or strength or, you know, the idea that, yes, all right, this is hard, but I know if I keep putting one foot in front of the other, God's going to help me through this and I can feel a sense of hope about it. Whereas, on the other hand, desolation are those thoughts that come into our mind because Satan or one of his subcontractors are sort of whispering it into our spiritual ear. And it's a thought that kind of says, in the face of a difficult situation or in the face of not a difficult situation, you know, you can't do this, you're worthless, it's hopeless, you know, the disaster is about to befall you, you know, where we are so worried about so many things that we can't concentrate on what's in front of us. And the particular cognitive distortion, if you will, or desolation that you're struggling with is called catastrophizing. It's when you run these what-if scenarios through your mind all the time. You have this idea that, you know, what if this terrible thing happens? What if that terrible thing happens? And you try to do battle against it, you know, by saying, well, that's not going to happen. But, you know, but then it comes, the voice in your head comes back and says, well, how do you know? It could happen. And because it could happen, then as far as your mind is concerned, it will happen. And what it is, catastrophizing is sort of Satan's way of getting you to worry so much about problems that aren't happening that you're not able to attend to the stuff that's right in front of you that you do need to deal with. You know, and so because of that, you know, it's a major spiritual distraction as well. And so what cognitive therapy will do on its own, even without the spiritual component, is help you formulate effective arguments against that those false thoughts, and in particular the catastrophizing, so that you can overcome that thought, replace it with what the truth is, and move forward. It's not positive thinking. I want to clarify that for a second, because there have been several studies that show now that positive thinking tends not to work and can often make a person feel worse, because we say all these wonderful things to ourselves, but we don't believe them. And in fact, the more we say these positive things, there's a voice in the back of our head that says, yeah, right, sure. You know, and so we undermine our own attempts to inflate our sense of well-being by not believing what we're saying. So cognitive therapy is a little different than positive thinking. But if you add the spiritual component to it as well, with the spiritual discernment pieces that we talk about or that I was just sharing with you, then you're actually able to see that there's a spiritual battle for your mind going on at the same time, and you can kind of integrate your prayer life with that. So a couple of resources that are going to help you with this, and then I'm going to bring in the prayer piece as well. Two books I want to turn you on to, first of all. One of them is called When Panic Attacks. It's by Dr. David Burns, B-U-R-N-S, When Panic Attacks. And again, it's really the gold standard for treatment of anxiety disorders. Excellent, excellent stuff. I talk a little bit about the spiritual component to Burns's work. In my book, God Help Me, the Stress is Driving Me Crazy. God Help Me, the Stress is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace. There's a chapter in there that takes a look at this sort of cognitive approach in a more Catholic spiritual context that adds the pieces that I was talking to you about there. We do also have a 2-CD set called Rise Up and Walk, Plugging into the Power of Grace, which kind of explains everything that I'm talking to you about and actually gives some serious techniques to help you do that. If you find that you would like more kind of one-on-one tech support going through the process, then the Pastoral Solutions Institute might be a place for you to turn to get some good cognitive behavioral therapy. We do a lot of work on the phone with clients who are suffering from anxiety disorders and depression and all that, and you can work with either me or one of my associate counselors to help guide you through that process to leave the anxiety behind. But the good news is that even without medication, cognitive therapy has been shown to be 80% effective in helping folks decrease or eliminate their anxiety. And for those who are a little bit resistant than with medication, the success rate is even higher. So there's definitely treatment that's available for this, and you don't have to suffer with this. As far as your prayer life goes, what I would like to talk to your pastor about is not so much counseling, because they're not qualified to do the kind of therapy that I'm talking to you about, but getting some spiritual direction and getting anointing of the sick. You know, a lot of people don't think that they can get or never think about getting anointing of the sick if they have depression or anxiety disorders, and you absolutely can. It's a wonderful way to open yourself up to the sacrament of healing and the graces of healing that God wants to give you through that sacrament. So, you know, to take that holistic approach that integrates both our faith and our reason and cutting-edge insights into counseling psychology, I think that really is the best way to approach all this. And I hope that you'll follow through with those resources. If you'd like to learn more about our counseling services, you can go online to exceptionalmarriages.com, or you can just call to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. Again, that's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling appointment line at 740-266-6461. But whatever way you decide to go, the books would definitely be a place to get you started, as well as the audio series. I think they'd be a really, really useful set of techniques to help you begin to conquer these anxious thoughts. God bless you, Mike, and if there's more we can do to support you in the process, you know where to find us. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm going to jot that down. What was the CD set again? Rise
Up and Walk, Plugging into the Power of God's Grace. And you can get that at our website at exceptionalmarriages.com. Got to go to our break now, but thanks so much for the call, Mike. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Are you feeling stressed out, anxious, depressed, frustrated, and otherwise just completely beside yourself about a difficult relationship situation, a specific challenge going on in your life, and you're just not sure how to overcome it in a faithful and effective way? It's hard to be effective and faithful at the same time. Sometimes it's hard enough to just be one or the other. But both? Are you out of your mind? Are you kidding? Is it possible? Yes, actually it is. We're here to help you do it. 877-573-7825. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, and you coming up right after this.
The 21st annual Father Gabriel Richard High School Irish Open will be held Friday, June 11th at Fox Hills Golf Course in Plymouth. Please join us for an exciting day of golf with friends. Your participation will help students with financial need attend Father Gabriel Richard High School and further FGR's mission to grow students in mind, body, and spirit. The format is scramble, and the goal is fun. Teams can be men, women, or mixed. That's the Irish Open, June 11th. Register at FGRathletics.com or call Deb at the school.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya, and this week on Light of the East on Ave Maria,
let us celebrate the memory of the saints and the joy of the Holy Spirit, for the day of their feast has arrived, filling us with divine gifts. With purified conscience, let us cry out with joy and let us sing in their honor.
Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7 on 990 WDEO.
The Shroud of Turin. Is it the burial cloth of Jesus, or is it a hoax? It's the most analyzed religious artifact in the world, but it still remains a mystery. Until now. Ave Maria Radio is bringing a world-renowned Shroud expert, Russ Rialt, to the Detroit area from June 15th through the 19th. He's been speaking on the Shroud for 25 years using a multimedia CSI-type presentation that explores every facet of the Shroud. The Shroud Encounter is sponsored by five area churches for 5 days in June, from the 15th to the 19th. Admission is free, but be aware, this is a fundraiser for Ave Maria Radio, so we'll be asking for your help. A free will offering will be taken. For a list of sponsors, times, and directions, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click Shroud Encounter. That's Shroud Encounter at AveMariaRadio.net. Tell your friends. 5 days, five locations, the Shroud.
Listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength, I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. We're here to help you find those faithful ways to respond to all the challenges in your life. So if there is something weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength, give us a call. We can help you sort it out. 877-573-7825. The email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. And right now we're going to Teresa in San Antonio.
Hey there, Teresa. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you out today?
I wanted to add a question to the gentleman callers before about catastrophizing.
Mm-hmm.
I have an 11-year-old granddaughter who has lived her life under a lot of stress, and particularly under a tremendous load of stress right now. And that's exactly how she's behaved for the last couple of years, actually. She is always playing the what-if game.
If you're not comfortable with this, that's okay. You don't have to answer. But I'm just, can you tell me a little bit more about the stressful situation that she's under?
She doesn't have a good relationship with her mother. Her mother's never been very motherly to her.
Mm-hmm.
She reached an age where she began to notice her friends' parents and how they behaved to their children. So she wonders why, you know, mom doesn't.
And is her mother still, I mean, is her mother and father together?
They actually all live with us.
Okay.
There's a Journey 11, I'm sorry, and a four-year-old, and then their mother. They all live in the house with my husband and myself.
I see. Okay. And so your question is specifically about the 11-year-old catastrophizing and just how to help her with that, or more generally,
yes,
how to improve the relationship between her and her mom?
Child Protective has been called in to do that at this point.
These are what-ifs that aren't just catastrophizing. These are real-life questions. You know, she has the father you're saying is not present. Grandma and grandpa are there, thank God, but that's a tenuous relationship because you don't have any legal custody, I assume. And mom has to have Child Protective Services called. This is not a child who's catastrophizing. This is a child who's saying, my life is a catastrophe, and will somebody, a grown-up, please tell me how I'm going to stay safe until I'm an adult and can provide for myself.
That's a
totally different situation than catastrophizing.
I understand what you're saying, but and her questions are outrageous, you know, kind of way out of the realm of reality.
So give me an example.
She does this all the time, wanting to know if I'm going to save her the way I'm getting it. She wants an answer from me that if I'm going to save her.
Can you give us a question that you would consider catastrophizing in this situation?
Let's see. She dreams. She has bad dreams all the time. And so she'll tell me her dreams, and then she'll say, so what if a monster comes that's as big as our house? What would happen? And I say, well, I don't know, Journey. I've never seen a monster, and I've certainly never seen one the size of our house. And then she'll say, but
Teresa,
what if
Teresa,
it does?
You know what you say, Teresa? You say,
huh?
Come here, honey. Sit up on my lap. Then Grandma will protect you. Because there's no monster that Grandma won't work really hard to keep you safe from. And I'm going to look out for you, and I'm going to make sure that everything's okay. You know, what she's saying to you is her life is out of control, Teresa. I mean,
her life is the monster that's bigger than the house.
Yes, it is. It's
okay.
True.
And that's, you know,
but
so it's not out of the realm of reality for her. You know, when you're talking about a little kid, you know, they talk in symbols, they talk in these dreams, they use creative language. But if you're not so literal about it and you look at it, it makes perfect sense. You know, as Lisa just said, her life is that monster that's bigger than the house, and she needs to know that there's a grown-up in her life that's big enough to handle the stuff that she can't, because she feels like she's having to take care of herself. You know, so whenever she's anxious that way, don't try to talk her out of it. You try to help her get back online, help her get her emotional temperature back down by giving her that affection and that reassurance, and walking her through whatever it is that she might be afraid of at the moment, and what you're doing to help take care of that problem that she's facing with her mom or with her life or whatever it is. And if you can pin it down to say, you know, and is there something going on today that you're a little bit nervous about or a little bit upset about? Let's talk about how we can fix that, or what we can do to try to make that a little bit better. And even if you can identify one or two little steps that either you can do for her or that you can empower her to do, then that would be a step in the right direction. But right now, you know, there isn't anybody really attending to this little one's emotional well-being, and she's kind of screaming out to you, my life is this big monster that's going to eat me and eat our whole house. And she needs somebody to kind of step up and say, it's okay, I can do battle against this monster and help you.
I don't care how far-fetched her questions are, it's her way of safely being able to say, I'm scared to death and somebody needs to be a responsible adult in my life because I'm only 11 years old. And if her mother hasn't been very present through her life, she's a whole lot younger than 11. Her body might be 11, but her emotional capability is back in every single time her mom did something to abandon her or threaten her or make her feel insecure. And this is a child who needs security desperately. There's no catastrophizing here. This is saying, somebody step in and be responsible and keep me safe.
I would also like you to introduce her in her prayer life to her Blessed Mother, to Mary, and to talk to her about Mommy Mary and how much Mommy Mary loves her and wants to be there with you and with her, taking care of her and leading her to our Lord, and providing that spiritual protection from those monsters. You can even have her develop a devotion to St. Michael the Archangel and have her imagine St. Michael the Archangel going up against those monsters that haunt her dreams and haunt her life, and helping her be able to see that God is providing for her, and that he has put you in her life to be that guardian as well, to take care of her and to make sure that you are her advocate. So, Teresa, I want to thank you for the call, but I'm going to challenge you a little bit here to make sure that you're stepping up to take care of her emotional well-being, and to really be present to her, and perhaps in some ways that you haven't been before.
And I'd like to see you really advocating to Children and Youth Services for her, saying, you know, I'd like this whole family to get into family therapy. I'd like my daughter to be taking parenting classes. I'll provide a roof over her head, but she needs skills. And really finding out from that resource, most of us look at Children and Youth Services as the big threat. They're also the big opportunity to get an awful lot of stuff fixed. Talk to them. Say, what can I do to get my daughter parenting classes, to get this child the security and help that she needs, to get this family the family counseling so that we can become a whole and holy family again?
We have to go to our break, Teresa, but I thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you in this challenging situation, please don't hesitate to give us another call. There's a great book I would like you to pick up, two books, actually. One is called Hold On to Your Kids by Gordon Neufeld, which is going to help you learn ways to build relationship and take her emotional temperature down. I'd also like you to pick up a book called The Optimistic Child by Martin Seligman. Both of those books will be a very helpful thing to you. But ultimately, it's going to be about advocating for her to make real life changes in her everyday life so the monsters don't keep chasing her in her dreams. Teresa, thanks again for calling. 877-573-7825 are the toll-free number that you can call with your tough questions about parenting, about marriage, about life in general. When life is holding you back and getting you down and you need some new ways to cooperate with God's grace so that you can break free and start living life to the full, 877-573-7825 is the place to start. Pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll be back right after this.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Sports Investment Council, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo. Are you a Catholic business owner? Well, you know, in tough economic times, some businesses do better than others, and yours can be one of them. It's all how you target the advertising. Well, when you display your business in the CatholicBusinessPages.com online business directory, you're letting people know you're out there. Catholic consumers who want to do business with companies they can trust, and we're not talking about a lot of money here. How about rates starting at less than a dollar a day? So check it out. Go to CatholicBusinessPages.com, enter promo code AMR, and save.
Can't listen 24/7? Go to AveMariaRadio.net and subscribe to the Ave Maria Radio podcast. Listen to your favorite Ave Maria Radio programs or download them to your computer or handheld device. We've been storing Ave Maria Radio programs since 2007. You can even learn how to watch Cresta in the afternoon. And stay on our website to learn about the great organizations that support Ave Maria Radio. Now you have even more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
You know, we wanted to talk a little bit today about anger in relationships. An article came across the desk that I had some interesting insights to offer. And you know, when anger is a part of everyday life, it really wears the family down. And it can actually cause a lot of problems, both in the mental health, the relational functioning, and the physical health of family members when conflict heats things up on a consistent basis. And we're not just talking about regular arguments between a husband and wife or parents and kids, but we're talking about when somebody in your family actually has problems with their temper and they just can't seem to get things under control.
Even if that person is you.
That's true, because sometimes we really do have a hard time pulling it together. You know, we were talking with Teresa before, and she was referring to her daughter and her granddaughter and how they don't have a great relationship because, you know, her daughter has a hard time controlling her temper with her daughter. And so, you know, when we introduce anger into the household and we're not able to get control of it, or we are in a relationship with somebody who has brought anger into the household and they don't seem to be able to get control of it, you know, we often try to do a lot of things that end up being not terrifically effective. You know, we might say to them, listen, you're really hurting me. And then they come back with, well, if you hadn't done thus and such, then maybe I wouldn't have been so upset. Or we say, you know, you really hurt my feelings when you said thus and such. And they say, well, I was just joking. You need to get a sense of humor. Or you're too sensitive. Or, yeah, I lost it, but you're too unforgiving. And why can't you just get off my back about it? Or a million other excuses or attempts to blame shift. How do you deal with those kinds of things? Well, you know, it's important to kind of keep in mind some basic ideas here. The number one thing is that research shows that people who have problems with their temper actually can control it. Because there are contexts where they don't lose their cool. At work or with certain friends or with other family members, the people who actually lose their cool don't. Which means that they can consciously control it despite what you think and despite what they tell you. The only reason they don't when they're dealing with you is because they're able to get away with it. So learning how to set effective boundaries is critically important. We're going to spend some time talking about how to set those boundaries here on Heart, Mind, and Strength. Of course, if you need some help doing that, you can give us a call here at 877-573-7825. Again, the toll-free number, 877-573-7825. But whatever issue is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength, We're here to help you find faithful, practical, effective ways for you to be, as St. Paul says, more than an overcomer. Pick up the phone. Let's talk it out together.
We're going now to Samantha in San Antonio.
Hey there, Samantha. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you out today?
I was calling. I have a question about, I'm going through a custody battle with my children, and their father is very mean to them. His family is mean to them, will tell them that I don't love them, that I don't want them. So when they do come with me, you know, they rebel against me and they are against me. My older son will yell at me and tell me that he hates me, doesn't want to be with me.
How old are your children, Samantha?
They're 11, 7, and 6.
Okay.
Okay, and they're in the primary custody of their father?
Well, we share custody, but their father has a little bit more custody over them because they go to school where he lives. Okay. I had joined the military, and I left them with him. Before that, we had still been going through custody, and since I left the military, I just let them stay with him, and he says because of that, that, you know, I don't care about them, and I left them, and, you know, that he's not going to allow me to see them, and he continues to fight with me because he says that I'm not a mother to them, and I just kind of, and that's something that just really hurts me because I want to be there for them, and I don't want them to suffer the way that I did when my parents got a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to continue to fight if it's just going to continue to hurt them. And I'm just kind of...
What opportunity do you have at this point to regularize your visitation and your presence in their life? I mean, is your obligation to the military, to your military service ended at this point, or are you going to be kind of in and out of their lives still, or what's the situation there?
No, I am a reservist, so I still stay in their state. I still stay in San Antonio. I'm a drilling reservist, so I drill once a month. So I do see them every other weekend, and once or twice every other week that I don't have them for the weekend.
And what kind of things are you doing when they're not with you to let them know that you're thinking about them, you're communicating with them on a daily basis, you're planning things for your next visit? How's that going? What are you doing in that direction?
I don't talk to them when they're not with me more because when I do call, you know, their dad will sometimes tell me that they're not home or that they can't talk to me, or he just doesn't allow me to talk to them. So, you know, that's one thing that I can't get to talk to them.
It's a terrible situation, but I think that you need to keep trying because to be able to say, listen, guys, I've tried to talk to you if they say to you, you know, Mom, you don't love us or you don't want to be in our, if they start believing the stuff that their dad says, you know, to be able to say, you know, I've called you every day.
You know, here's one of the things that I'd like you to do. If you call, and you must call every day, all right, no matter what response you get from that dad, you must call at least once a day, if not more. And if he says they're not home, say, when will they be home? I need to talk to my children. If you can't get through because of his behavior, that's when you either sit down and write a letter or grab a recorder and record what you would have said to them. And when you do get a chance to see them and your kids either say that or before they start to say, why don't you love us? Why aren't you with us? Daddy says this, Grandma says that. You say, honey, darlings, I think about you every day. I care about you so much. You need to be in your school district. And Mommy does have to be away once a month so that I can make a living to help provide for you. But this is how much I think about you. Every day I call. And if your dad says you're not there, I still tell you, even though you're not listening, I tell you how much I love you. Here's the letter. Here's the recording of what I want to say to you. Here are the things I'm praying for you. These are the questions I have about your day. And let them see. Yeah, you knew they had a spelling test that day, so you were praying for them. You knew they had a soccer game that day, so you were thinking about how they did and you had called to find out. This is going to be not about trying to work your husband. That's for your attorney to do. And please, get in touch with your attorney
and make sure you're documenting
this.
Make sure you're documenting every thwarted attempt
every
to contact your children.
Everything needs to be written down because your attorney needs to know exactly what's happening, and it can't be hearsay. So it has to be, I called on, you know, May 26th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is what was said, and this was what was done. Okay. But you need to be keeping copious records and notes and letters and recordings of how much you want to be with them so that when they say this to you, you can't just say, well, that's not true because these kids need evidence.
Yeah.
All right? They need real evidence to hold on to. And then they can say, you know, then they go back and daddy says, your mother's this, that, and the other. And they say, dad, she's trying. She's trying to call. She's thinking of us. And even if they can never convince their dad to stop doing this, they will grow up to know that you tried and that you love them. So work the deal with the lawyer. Try to get this straightened out in a court of law. But just give your kids the evidence of the fact that you think about them, you pray for them, you love them, you're interested in their lives.
And I want you to pick up a book called Between Two Worlds, the Inner Lives of Children of Divorce, because it's actually a great resource that looks at, you know, how parents can, well, first of all, how to understand what the kids are really going through. You might think you know, but really there are some insights in this book that I think are not obvious, and but it's the best study that's ever been done on the experience of children of divorce, and this is the challenges that they face in kind of moving back between mom's house and dad's house, and the challenge of making that transition successful. And then there's a lot of advice in the book that talks about, you know, how parents can make that transition much more effective as they work to help bring those two worlds of mom's world and dad's world together for the children so they don't feel like there's so much of a gap between the two. A lot of the suggestions Lisa was just making are along those lines, but there are more things that we don't have time to get into in the book. And it's by Elizabeth Marquardt. It's called Between Two Worlds, The Inner Lives of Children of Divorce. I'd recommend that you pick it up. But if there's more that we can do to support you, Samantha, don't hesitate to give us another holler. But please do follow up with your attorney as well, because the parental alienation that's going on here is really inexcusable, and you need to mount a very solid offensive against this so that your children know that you're fighting for them. God bless you. I have to let you go with that, but thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls here today on Heart, Mind, and Strength about whatever is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or causing your strength to drain away from you drop by precious drop. 877-573-7825.
You know, I just want to add one more thing to this whole situation, and for every family that's in a divorce situation, you know, it doesn't stop when you get divorced if you have kids. And you owe it to your kids to get the parenting classes in a divorce situation so the two of you can work out the way you're going to parent your children together, the family therapy you need so you can figure out how you're going to talk, how you're going to work these out for your kids so that it is a smooth transition every time they go back and forth, because every single time they move from one parent's house to the other parent's house, it is a revisitation of the initial tearing apart of your family. We might move on in our heads. We're much more linear in our thinking than our children are. We think to the future. We think about what's going to happen. They're going to grow up. They're going to move away. I'm going to try to find another spouse. I'm going to do this job. They just want to know they're safe. And every time they change houses, that gets jolted again. And we need to, as the adults who brought them into our family, provide for that emotional security. So get the classes you need, get the counseling you need, and keep the commitment to your children, even if the marriage hasn't been able to stay together.
877-573-7825. If you've got your own questions about this topic or any other issue that is causing you to feel like you just don't know which end is up and where to turn for the help you need to start living life to the full, well, pick up the phone and we'll start you off on those first steps toward finding the solutions that will enable you to live your life as the gift that God intends it to be. 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address,
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Stick around for more stuff on Heart, Mind, and Strength with you and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck coming up right after this.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio, is made possible in part by a contribution made in celebration of the 21st wedding anniversary of Alan and Angelina Wigenka, thanking the Lord for our two wonderful children and a life full of love and faith.
You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Doing all things in Christ.
Tapping into real power in a power-hungry world.
Singing praise and worship to our God.
All Christian men in the state of Michigan are invited to attend and participate in the first ever statewide men's conference.
Men from all of Michigan's seven dioceses will be there.
It's Saturday, June 26th at the Eastern Michigan University Convocation Center. Our speakers include
Our Lady of Good Counsel Pastor, Father John Ricardo.
Internationally known speaker and teacher, Matthew Kelly.
Former New Orleans Saints player and coach Danny Abramowitz being interviewed by Channel 7's Vic Faust.
The Bishop of Lansing, Earl Boyer, is our Mass celebrant.
And popular youth evangelist Father Stan Fortuna is at the Young Men's Breakout Session.
Don't miss Doing All Things in Christ, Saturday, June 26th at the Eastern Michigan University Convocation Center.
Tickets and more information at ChristChosen.com.
Or phone for tickets at 734-237-4689. That's 734-237-4689.
In this tough economy, business owners and organizations need to educate themselves about online and mobile marketing. You can do that by attending a free seminar hosted by St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Ann Arbor on Saturday, June 12th from 10 a.m. to noon. Get your ticket for Grow Your Business with Online Marketing by visiting mymarketingticket.com or by calling 734-681-0669. Seating is limited, so sign up today.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls, and we're not giving them back either. But we are giving good, faithful advice to help you start living life to the full. And that seems like a pretty good trade to me, right? Sort of like back in grade school when you'd open up your lunch and say, you know, I'll give you the... you know, my peanut butter sandwich for your, you know, Limburger sandwich or whatever it was. Yeah. Well, it's... you give us your problems and the calls, and we'll give you our peanut butter sandwich. See, that's kind of how it works out.
And we actually will take that horrible Limburger smell out of your life. We will. You know, it's funny. Quick anecdote. You say Limburger cheese. The only time I've ever heard of it, you know, like, I just... It's not my favorite cheese. The only anecdote...
Anybody's? I mean, it's like a cartoon joke. Nobody.
My mother had a friend when she was a little girl, and they lived near the beach in New York. And they would, she and her friends would go to the beach. This is when they were like, you know, 12, 13 years old. They'd go to the beach every weekend together as a group of friends. And this little boy's mother packed him Limburger cheese sandwiches
every time
they went to the beach. And can you imagine the stench of a Limburger cheese sandwich sitting out on a hot beach in the middle of August?
I've never experienced this. It was horrific
to the point where my mother was still talking about these Limburger cheese sandwich smells till she was like 70. It affected her so badly. If you're like, there's something stinky in my life and I need to get rid of it, we'll even take that. I promise. We'll swap you some good, faithful advice for your stinky Limburger cheese.
There you go. So if you're looking for nourishment, give us a call at 877-573-7825. King of segues here. All right. We got a question from Judy in San Antonio, Texas, who is not really looking forward to her Memorial Day weekend. She says, you know, I'm going to have to see my family coming up this weekend, and I have to defend my Catholic beliefs to my family. My husband converted to Catholicism, and my in-laws are very Protestant. What can I do to help them get off my back and see that we love the Lord just like they do? Well, Judy, thanks so much for the question. You know, here's the thing. You know, you want to do a couple of things. First of all, you want to go in prepared, all right? Because the worst thing is when we allow ourselves to be surprised by the same darn thing happening over and over and over again. You know, you might know that your family or your in-laws might be hostile to your Catholicism, but you might not actually rehearse answers or responses to the specific hostilities that they express. And that's where I would start. You know, you and your husband ought to spend some time reflecting on some of the biggest questions they've asked you in the past, and just have some answers prepared. Not argumentative answers, not, you know, not scripts that you're going to follow, but just some talking points so that you feel confident. It's not so much about convincing them, it's about helping you feel confident with what you want to say if they ask this or if they challenge you on that. So having your own ducks in a row, a good resource for getting your own ducks in a row, apologetically speaking, anyway, and apologetics, of course, means explaining our faith. You can go to Catholic.com for the Catholic Answers website and take a look at some common questions that people will ask Catholics about. Where do you get that from, and why do you believe what you believe, and where is that in Scripture, and that sort of thing. You can look all that up online at Catholic.com. Check it out. They have lots of other good resources there for you as well. The other thing I'd like you to do is keep in mind that conversion is the Holy Spirit's job, not yours. All you have to do, all you're obliged to do, is be able to present a basic explanation for why Catholics believe what they believe. It's not your job to convince them that we're right. It's not your job to make them get it. It's not your job to fight it. You know, God's a big God. He can take care of himself. He will get them eventually. I don't mean that in a he's going to get them. I mean that in he will, you know, take them where he wants to take them. And it's just your job to be that instrument of grace by being able to calmly and charitably explain what we believe. If they don't like it, they don't like it. That's fine. You just go and you eat your potato salad and you fill up your mouth with good food at the picnic table and... I can't talk. See, it's done. Conversation's all done.
Then explain it because I spit out my sandwich.
The last thing that I'd like you to do, and I want you to think about this. If the thing gets a little bit too heated, I would like you actually to literally rebuke the spirit of judgmentalism or rebuke their spirit of anger or come against their
you
spirit
want her
of division.
To do it out loud with
I
them right
to,
there?
Yeah, if they're being hostile, I said, I would just say, you know, uncle or dad or uncle, you know, Harold or whatever, I want to take this moment that in Jesus' name to rebuke the spirit of hostility and anger that's being projected at me. And now that's not language that we Catholics usually use, but especially in the context that you're talking about, it's certainly consistent with our Catholicism, and I think it would make sense to them. Because this is not about fighting, you know, some kind of crusade to see who wins the day at the family picnic. This is about having a conversation about our differences, and at the end of the day, recognizing that we love the Lord and we're going to try to join together as much as we can so that we don't do even further damage to the body of Christ. And when you're having those kinds of discussions, there's really no room for those spirits of division or anger or hostility. And I think calling them out on it right there as a woman of God and exercising that prophetic mission by coming against that spirit of division or anger is exactly the right thing that you can do. Thanks so much for the question, Judy. God bless you. There's more we can do when you come back for the picnic. Don't hesitate to give us a call. That's all the time we got for today's program. Check out our website at exceptionalmarriages.com and get out there and love the Lord
with all your heart, mind, and strength.
God bless you, everybody. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popchick. Heart, Mind, and Strength is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Dr. Kelly Ahrens has joined Dr. Bishop and Dr. Berger's practice at Sacred Heart Medical Center. Sacred Heart's mission is to provide Christ-centered, family-oriented medical care that is faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. As a family physician, Dr. Ahrens specializes in providing care to the whole family, from maternity and pediatrics to geriatrics. As an osteopathic physician, she also performs osteopathic manipulation. More information about the practice and the doctors is available at sacredheartmedical.org.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
In today's Gospel, we hear of a great miracle. Now, God's given most of us listening in the gift of physical sight. But this story is not just about physical sight, it's also a sign of spiritual vision. In the early church, baptism was called enlightenment. Are you an enlightened person? Do you live like one? Someone who knows that the Lord Jesus is the creator and master of the universe and our judge? If not, ask God to enlighten you as you're listening in. One day, as Jesus was leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard it was Jesus passing by, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." But many told him to be quiet.